A year ago this week, Morning Edition broadcast the story of a foster child in Washington, D.C. named Michael. He was 11 years old and had been languishing in a group home. The home was meant to be an emergency placement, but Michael had been living there for months, not attending school.
So what do you do most days here?
Nothing.
So basically you're here by yourself for all day?
I go to the basketball court and practice.
But that's by yourself, too.
I practice sometimes. Then I come back here and practice again.
Michael's story touched Morning Edition listeners, and many wrote asking what happened to him. NPR's Madeline Brand has this follow-up report.
Hello?
Hello, hello.
When we profiled Michael a year ago, he was living with six other little boys in this creaky house in Washington, D.C. He had spent most of his life in foster care, moving from home to home. And it didn't take him long to become attached to the latest parental figure in his life.
This is my mommy right here. Mom, you going home today?
Did you clean up your...
So why do you call her Mom?
Because I like to. It felt good to me.
When did you meet her?
Oh, I met her when I got here.
And that was, what, a week ago?
Yeah.
And you call her Mom?
Yeah.
Michael's mother for the moment was Vanessa Portier, the woman who ran the group home. This is how she described Michael, which is not his real name, after he had lived in the home for more than 3 months.
He's not aggressive. He doesn't pick fights, or he actually avoids them. He's very touchy-feely type of person. You know, he always wants a hug and he always wants to touch somebody.
A few days after our story aired last March, Vanessa Portier was subpoenaed. The judge who oversees the Child and Family Services Agency wanted to know why she had allowed NPR to interview Michael. Two people at the hearing later said the judge expressed concern that because Vanessa wasn't Michael's legal guardian, she didn't have the right to let him speak publicly about such sensitive issues. Because of the hearing, the group home voluntarily shut down, ending a long-running dispute with the agency. The judge questioned other people who appeared in the story.
He's a kid, still living life, still loving life.
Foster Epps was subpoenaed, too. Epps was Michael's caseworker at St. Elizabeth's Psychiatric Hospital. Michael was sent there after his social worker took him out of the group home Vanessa ran. One person who attended the hearing reported that the judge said Epps also violated Michael's confidentiality when he told us this about Michael.
He really hasn't been a son for a long period of time. He hasn't been a brother to anybody. He hasn't had a dog or have a fish, I don't believe. But those are the kind of things that kids need. Because once you're not a kid anymore, you can't go back. You can't go back and be a kid again.
Foster Epps said the best place for Michael is with a family, and an independent psychiatric assessment agreed. It said specifically that Michael should live with a family trained to raise children with special needs. But the agency had other plans. Officials refused to talk about Michael for this story, but spokeswoman Shirley Tabb says sometimes children like him need to be in an institution before they can live with a family.
All we are saying is, we cannot make a placement before the child is ready, because if we do, we are going to blow a very good family, put them through a lot of emotional turmoil, as well as the child. And some children, it takes them longer to get ready for placement than others.
So for the last year, Michael's been living in a residential treatment facility in Virginia. It's where he eats, sleeps, and goes to school. It's a place for children considered the most difficult to place with families. A year ago, Michael told us he wanted more than anything to live in a family, and he told us what kind of son he'd be.
A nice son. A nice son and a fun son. And I do got good manners. That's why I'm special.
Everything that Michael said just so affected me. I mean, it was like he was reaching out and grabbing our hearts.
Lauren Shoub lives in northern New Jersey. She was one of many listeners who contacted NPR after the story aired, wanting to adopt Michael. We referred listeners to the city's child welfare agency. Shoub says the agency sent her to one social worker, then another, and then a third.
It really took a few months before I got the right person.
The agency assured her that being out of state would not be a barrier to adopting Michael. After months of phone calls, Shub and Michael's social worker began to arrange a time for her to meet him.
Then I was put in contact with an attorney who is Michael's guardian ad litem, and she kind of stopped things, and she said, before you go to see him, let's make sure this is really going to work. And I really didn't want to meet him if then I was going to be another person walking out of his life, so I wanted to be sure that was going to work out.
And while she was waiting, the agency itself was going through turmoil. It was already under a court order to improve, but there was little evidence that it had done so. Last year, there was a highly publicized death of a child under the agency's care. Members of Congress ordered the General Accounting Office to investigate the agency. Representative Thomas Davis, a Virginia Republican, called the GAO report appalling.
GAO briefed me on what they found, and I believe it's a miracle every time the city makes it 24 hours without the death of another child. I'm convinced that the agency doesn't know where children at Place are now, and if they're better off or they're worse off than when they entered.
Back in New Jersey, Lauren Shub was unaware of all the internal goings-on at the agency. She was just getting frustrated that almost a year after the story aired, she still hadn't met Michael. But then his court-appointed lawyer told Shub that Michael would be too much for her to handle.
I think we were not the right match for him. And I'm... It's kind of heartbreaking. It's hard to give up. Even not having met him, I feel like I know this child. But the good thing that came out of listening to this piece, and I hope it did for people across the country, is that we are going to be adopting a child out of the foster care system in New Jersey. You know, there is going to be a child that we're going to be able to take in. It's just not the child we originally started with.
Michael is 12 years old now. This is him a year ago, still a child.
This is my two beds. I'll sleep in that one for now on.
Who's this?
My teddy bear. My little teddy bear. Say hi. Hi.
As Michael turns from child to teenager, his dreams of being adopted become more remote. In 6 years, Michael will be an adult. And at that point, the Child Welfare Agency will no longer be responsible for him. At age 18, Michael will be expected to take care of himself. Madeline Brand, NPR News, Washington.